Let's go ahead and jump in to today's topic. And Lance, thanks again for having me here today, to the elders here at Union, for all of you for putting up with me as often as I get to speak here. Lance asked me specifically to share on the topic of wisdom. And honestly, already a few weeks ago when he asked me to do this, I started scratching my head and say, why did he pick me for this topic? Like, is this a test? Or what's going on? Because I don't know in your categories, in the way you think, but wisdom is like this big idea. And honestly, one of the best conclusions I've found is that between the three of us giving this series, which is Lance, Barry, whom you just saw a picture of, and myself, I have the most hair, gray hair. So I think that might be one of the reasons he asked me to share about wisdom. Maybe not quite sure. But we're going to dive in. And I want to say something up front that I'm aware of, and I want you to know that I know. And that is that just because I have the opportunity to put on one of these and speak for a few minutes about wisdom actually doesn't make me an expert on the topic, nor does it make me someone who's actually wise. And today we're going to be digging into what is wisdom, what does it mean to be wise. But like I just said, that doesn't mean that because I'm talking about it makes me the expert. However, I do hope and pray to share some ideas today that will be helpful for each and every one of us, no matter where we're at on our faith journey. And mentioning that, maybe you're here today and you're not quite sure yet what you think about Jesus or the Bible and so forth. And actually, this is a fantastic Sunday to be here if that's you, because most of these principles you'll be able to apply and not even have to necessarily believe everything that I believe about Jesus and the scriptures we'll be reading. I do hope you'll consider taking steps towards Christ, but like I said, this idea of wisdom, you can actually put it in your pocket, take it with you, and wait on the Jesus decision for another day. Now, at this tender age, I find myself already asking questions like, Dwayne, if you already knew better, why did you do that? If you had the information that you needed, why did you make that decision? You knew better. Or if you had that information, why didn't you do this? In full disclosure, this often happens when Liliana, my wife, and I are having a conversation, discussion, okay, argument, and we're in the middle of it, and I am sitting there, or we're standing there talking, going back and forth, and I'm like, yeah, I saw this coming 5 minutes ago. I could have made the choice not to say what I said that started this discussion / argument, etc. Or maybe another example would be, well, knowing what I knew back then, I don't know why I didn't start thinking about the Roth IRA and so forth already a whole long time ago already. So there's these things. I don't know, maybe you can relate to that. Can you identify something in your life where you recognize that you had the information? And you knew that if you did this or did not do this, certain things would happen. And maybe looking back today, you'd be like, yeah, I would be in a completely different place than I am today. Can I at least get a nod from a couple of you? Yeah. So the question would be, what's wrong with us, right? Like what's wrong with us? Why, if we have the information, is it so incredibly difficult, and if not sometimes even impossible, to take the steps that this information would imply that we would take. Go ahead and nudge the person next to you and say, you know better. And don't do it too harshly, and we don't want to get into trouble here. But we know better. Now, we're going to jump into the book of James, which is the text that we are using for this series. And just a little bit of context about James, and I just love this about this book specifically and about this author specifically. James was the brother, the younger brother of Jesus. And he actually came to faith pretty late in the game. Obviously, he was alive during Jesus' time of teaching and doing miracles and going all over the place. But we don't actually find him in history until after Jesus' death and resurrection. So, side note, just the fact that Jesus' younger brother came to faith in him, came to the point of believing, yeah, my older brother was who he said he was. And all that he promised, he's going to fulfill it. That for me is an incredible apologetic or excuse or reason to believe what Scripture says. Just think about it for a second. What would it take for you to convince your brother that you are the Son of God? So he comes to faith late in the game, after Jesus' death, because we all die, but resurrection, he comes around and he becomes not only a follower of Christ, but a leader in the church. And apparently he was highly, highly admired, highly esteemed. And in the year about 62, by the high priest Ananias, he was actually executed by this high priest because of this whole jealousy thing going on. And he was so popular amongst the community that they actually took this high priest, like removed him shortly after he fulfilled this execution because James was so popular. So this is the person whom we are reading right now. And James says, and we're in chapter 1, we're going to jump in on verse 5. It says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him or be given them. If any of you lacks wisdom, ask God. Now, I want to jump in for just a little bit about this idea of wisdom, because as I was preparing, different thoughts, different ideas came into my mind. And I'm going to divide up this idea of wisdom into different categories. Hopefully, this will be helpful. So, at the very lowest end of wisdom, we have information. We have information. There's this data. Data. And today we're in the society and the time of history where there's just data, information overload. Like there's just all kinds of information. And not only truth, but even slants that maybe aren't quite so quote unquote true. But there's just info, all kinds of information. And then after information, we have knowledge. And this is a class or a teaching on wisdom, not spelling. But so we have knowledge. And I actually wrote this on purpose. It was hard. Incorrectly. Because similar to information, you can have knowledge that even though you can believe it with all your heart and be convinced and even have experiences that tell you that this is the way things are or work, you can actually have it wrong. Even though it looks or sounds so right. And then after knowledge, we have understanding. We have understanding. And understanding for me in this definition, and I did not get this from a reliable source, so go ahead and argue with me later. But in understanding, you own the information. And you not only have this data inside, like you know this, but you actually own it, and you can apply it in your mind and see different outcomes and so forth and so forth. And after all of this, we have what we're talking about today, which is wisdom. Now, if we can divide this up a little bit, there's a part where we have you hear or you receive this information. You receive this data, okay? And after you actually receive the data, you can get to a point where you know it. It's yours. You can cite it from memory. You've got it. But I'm going to push super hard today. This is like the key idea, that you don't get to wisdom until you actually do what this data, what this knowledge implies. So just a couple quick examples to keep the ball rolling. I love this piece of data, which is that couples that date regularly, married couples that date regularly after marriage, live happier, longer, better marriages. So there's a piece of information. I just threw it at you. If you can remember it, it'll be yours as far as knowledge. And I can even help you explain a little bit about this whole idea, because when you're dating your spouse, you're nurturing the fondness, which is this big idea that we love each other. We're still dating. You're still my girl. And yeah, we've been together for a few years now, and we know that our breath stinks, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we are in this, and we love each other. So you can still understand this. However, there's this line where you don't get to benefit from it until you actually apply it, until you actually live it. until you actually do it. So James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Now, for those of you that like reading and studying and how does this fit in different places and so forth, some people believe that this verse is directly related to the previous verses, which is talking about trials and difficulties, and count it all joy, brothers, when you find yourselves in the midst of these things, because it's taking you to a place of maturity and full faith. And that's very likely. Now, whether that's the case or not, I find this verse to be a very specific idea of, God, how do I live? God, how do I live? Be it because I'm in the middle of a trial or something, or be it because I'm facing something great that I need to decide what route I take and how I live through this, be it which it would be. I'm not really interested in arguing about that right now. The question is, how do I live? So let's continue the next verses, going on to verse 6 now. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, or some translations say without doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. So ask without doubting. This is a big and important idea. And I believe that it's not talking about, you know, have faith, have faith, have faith, and you will receive. It's not so much that type of don't doubt. But it's more of the type of doubting of, you know, I'm not quite sure that after I get this wisdom from you, I'm actually going to follow through. I'm kind of coming, I'm kind of going. I'm not quite sure. God, would you help me out here? I'll take it into account. I'll have it on my list of possibilities and options. But I'm not committed. I'm not in. For me, I find this to be a bit more helpful. And there's this person I love. And this is, for me, an example, a perfect example of what we're talking about. This young gentleman that I love thoroughly. I've known him for many years now. In the past 3 or 4 years, he's asked me on numerous occasions, Dwayne, can we please talk? Dwayne, I'd like to ask your counsel on a couple of things. Hey, can you please give me some advice? And so we've started talking one-on-one about 3, 4 years ago now. And about the 4th or 5th time in of chatting, I asked him, hey, have you even read that book I recommended? Have you had a chance to listen to that podcast or watch that video that I sent your way that was specifically related to a next step in this topic you're asking me about? And he shook his head. No, I haven't been able to. And it's kind of honestly continued that way. And I love this guy. I love this guy. I think he's a great guy, and I see a huge future for him. So I still hang out with him once in a while, still take a phone call. But on the other hand, I'm like, man, are we serious? If you're not going to follow through with the advice, hopefully it's wise, with the advice that I'm giving you, why would you waste your time asking? Why would you waste my time asking? And for me, I find it to think about it this way, ask without doubting. No, not wishy-washy, I'm in. God, what do you want me to do? What? Give me wisdom. What do I do in this circumstance? And I'm in. Count me in. I'm going to follow through. I'm going to jump now to another passage further down in chapter 1. And I find these verses to be completely related to this idea of wisdom. I'm going to jump down to verse 22. So we're still in chapter 1, but now we're going down to verse 22. James says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Be doers of the word. And not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So let's go back to verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. deceiving yourselves. James' older brother Jesus, in the book of Matthew 7, there's this famous parable that he told. And in Sunday school, back when I was a kid, we would sing this song about the wise man, the foolish man, and building a house on the rock or building a house on the sand. And Jesus said literally that the person who hears and does what I say is like the wise man who builds on the rock. But the person that hears and forgets and goes away and does not do what I taught is like the foolish man who builds on the sand. So the wise man built. Okay, it should be banned at this point. But there's this song that just says what Jesus taught as well. So we already mentioned this idea of hearing, knowing, and doing. And I'm going to go ahead and add on here, and I'm using words, I reference Jesus very intentionally because I don't want you to feel like I'm insulting anyone, please. But we have the wise man here, and then we have what I'm going to call the informed man or woman here, and then we have Jesus' term, not mine, the foolish or the fool who hears but does not do. So once again, you can know, you can have the information, you can have the knowledge, you can pull it out without needing to reference anything. You can even explain why it works, why it doesn't work, why it's good, why it's bad. But until we move from hearing and knowing, from being foolish to being informed, to actually doing, is when we get to this part of having wisdom and being wise. There's very few benefits, mighty few benefits, to only knowing. Now, I was a teacher for many years, like in a school, so this reference to a professor is not a jab at anyone, but how many have seen a broke finances teacher? Or worse yet, a broke finance counselor or a wealth management? It's like, yeah, I'm going to ask you to teach me how this works. Or the overweight trainer, personal trainer. Or the marriage counselor who's actually getting a divorce. And we could go on and on and on and on and on. Or even the examples I gave you of myself, or maybe the examples that came to your mind at the very beginning when I asked for some ideas. We have plenty of examples of knowledge, being informed, of having all of the information that we need. But there's a super important line where we move into doing. Doing. And it's interesting, this passage, James says that the person who feels like they know but doesn't do is actually deceived. They actually believe that because they've got the information in their pocket, or they've got the information on their phone, or they've got the book on the bookshelf in their personal home library, they've got it. They've got it. They have it. They know what it takes. They can explain it to you. But James says that person is deceived because that person is not applying what they know. Wisdom is reserved for the wise who know to apply. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he looks like. It's like a man who looks at himself in a mirror. And he goes away and he forgets what he looks like. Now, why would it be important for him to remember what he looks like? I mean, just carry a picture around, right? If you're going to be that conceited, you need to remember what I look like. You know, I just saw a guy walking past that mirror. Was that me or was that something? No, that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about the information you're receiving. What are we going to do with it? Because I'm going to guess that most of us, and yes, I did as well, in case you were wondering, looked at a mirror in the morning. Maybe before the shower, maybe after the shower, maybe the shower was 3 days ago. But you got some information. And the whole point of a mirror is to give you the information, but what's the point of the mirror? To give you information to do something with. Because I think we would all agree, hopefully, that it would be completely foolish to look at the mirror just after you jumped out of bed. And I know there's different types of styles and there's different types of hairdos, but to look at that mirror and go, yep, straight out of bed, straight out of our shower, yep, here we go. You know, you look at the mirror and you do something with the information that you're receiving. You do something with the information that you're receiving. You know, I'm not sure what all you do. You rearrange a few things and you put some things over here, and some of us are helpless, but hopeless. But you do something with this information. And that's what James is talking about. He looks intently into the law and remembers what he saw. He takes it with him. He asks God for wisdom. And he says, God, help me live this out. Help me live this out. Now, if I can be really honest here, and I might be risking stepping on a few toes, but this is passionate for me, so I'm going to risk it. I feel like oftentimes us Jesus followers, so heads up, if you don't consider yourself a Jesus follower, I'd actually prefer you plug your ears, but you're here anyways. This isn't for you. This is for those of us that consider ourselves Jesus followers. I feel like so often Jesus followers are really good or really bad at this. Because we come to meetings like this and we love the info and the verse and the reference and this and the Greek or the Hebrew. And we have it, even we memorize it and we know it. And we can explain it and we can argue it and we can go and we can do. And in services like this, we're even sometimes kind of masochistic because we groan. That was good. Oh, that hurt. Preach it, brother. Amen. And we like it because we get this conscious, you know, this movement, energy thing going on in our lives. And it's like, yeah, that was a great sermon. Boy, that made me uncomfortable. Boy, did you see how he handled that text? And boy, was that deep. And we might even take it to lunch, maybe all the way to dinner. And we're talking about it. Boy, was it good? Was it good? Is it good? And this is not a judgment, and I'm not pointing fingers. I'm pointing first back at me. Because as Jesus followers, I find that I'm awful good sometimes at this. Hearing, knowing, being informed. But come Monday morning, not often applying. Had it been deep or had it been simple? Not all that great at applying. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. The difference between the wise and the fool is not what they know, but what they do. The difference between the wise and the fool is not what they know, but what they do. Now, let's just be real honest. Wisdom is hard. This whole idea of wisdom, and I'm connecting it with this doing and living piece, it's hard. Because if we're going to apply something, it most likely means change. And most of us are pretty happy right where we're at. Thank you very much. Change is uncomfortable. Change is difficult. Change may mean a change of course. New friends, new places to hang out, new schedule, new, the list could go on and on and on. Wisdom isn't easy. Change is not easy. It's hard. Let's go ahead and land this. One of the questions we could have asked at the beginning is, where do we get wisdom? And we read it the very first answer. I think it's the best answer. We ask of God. Ask of God. God, give me wisdom. I'm in. I will do what you tell me to do. I will go where you lead. God, please give me wisdom. We use this mirror as an example. And James is specifically using a mirror to refer to Scripture. So another incredible place to get wisdom. And some people would say, why would you ask God to speak to you on your specific instance if you haven't already listened to his voice, which he's already spoken? But reading scripture, but as you would when you look in the mirror, letting it give you information, not only as information, but what does this mean for my life and what do I need to do as a result of what I am understanding. Now, to get really, really simple, and I mean that because this big idea hopefully can be portable, hopefully can be helpful, hopefully can give us a direction for tomorrow. There's this great idea which a few years ago, maybe I'm already letting you know part of my age when I referenced this, but there's this huge movement around the idea of what would Jesus do? WWJD, what would Jesus do? And I mention this because, God, give me wisdom. That's important, but it's kind of hard to land. Okay, what is Scripture teaching me? Incredibly important, kind of hard to sometimes figure out exactly how this applies to this circumstance. But when you ask the question, what would Jesus do? At least in my own experience, it makes it a whole lot clearer, a whole lot faster, a whole lot easier. You can ask that anytime, anywhere, traffic, dentist, you know, all the time, conversation with the wife. You don't have to recall a specific passage. You don't have to pray and listen and take a fast. You can just say, okay, what would Jesus do? And that's an incredibly important question, an incredibly clarifying question. Now, for some of us, maybe asking what would Jesus do, we're not quite there yet. And there's some of us that say, yeah, but there's some things that I ask what Jesus would do, and I come back blank. Because when I think about paying taxes or not, sending someone to go fishing isn't really the best answer, if you're following me that quick analogy reference. So another way to ask this question would be, what would a great blank do? And this is especially applicable for the ladies. What would a great wife or spouse do? Mother. What would a great mother do? Fathers, I'm not wanting to exclude us. We don't get out of this. What would a great father do? Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that just, bam, makes it incredibly, incredibly clear. What would a great leader do? A great employer do? A great employee do? A great driver on the streets of Mexico City do? And I do believe that going back to Jesus is one of the best answers, but hopefully this will make it even more portable, more applicable. Now, I'd like to ask you if you could imagine for just a second what your life today would look like if you could go back to your 16-year-old self, your 21-year-old self, and whisper in their ear what you now know. Or maybe even whisper in their ear, hey, that knowledge that you've got, that understanding, follow through on it. Don't ignore it. Do something about it. Can you imagine what your life would be like today? Can you imagine what the lives of others around you could be like if you would share what you've learned from your experiences with them? I mentioned a few minutes ago one of my passions about Jesus followers, and that's getting not just the knowing right, but the doing right. And I feel like the lives, or I'll go ahead and even say the eternities, the spiritual lives of people around the world are hanging in the balance in a sense, and we can go theological later on that idea. But I love this quote from Brennan Manning. He's an author I really appreciate for his honesty and so forth. And he says this, which for me is like a bullet between the eyes. He says, the greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. That is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. So this whole idea of wisdom, yes, it's about following God's will, doing God's purpose, and doing what he is asking us to do, which I do believe actually ends up giving us a quote-unquote better life, more like Christ on this earth. But there's also so much more that hangs in the balance if you consider yourself a Jesus follower. And I would suggest that even the well-being, the faith even of others, might be hugely influenced, let's just leave it at that, a little bit easy, on how you and I live out what Jesus, what the scriptures is teaching us. So if I could leave you with one idea, and this is a lofty, hairy, audacious goal, but if when you would look in the mirror, if you would say, hey, you, what would Jesus do? If you want to get really contextual in some parts of North America, you'd say, hey, fool, what would Jesus do? Hey, you, what would Jesus do? God, thank you for these opportunities to get together and sing and share and hear your word. And God, I simply ask today that you would plant this seed in each of our hearts in such a way that we would continuously be urged, be pushed, be led into living what we are learning. Please do your will in us and through us. Please help us to have your wisdom, but to follow through and live. In Jesus' name, amen.